Welcome, my name is Tania. Welcome to 12 Elements, Yoga and Wellbeing Podcast, Mind the Gap. Bridging the gap between life and your man.
Welcome to Mind the Gap Podcast, Irina. Today, I know that we have not met before in person, so thank you so much for coming on this beautiful rainy Belgium day. Let's get straight into it. I like to always ask everyone, going straight back to the beginning, so where were you born and where did you grow up?
First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. And to answer your question, I'm coming from Russia. Mm-hmm. I was born there and then I immigrated to Belgium 12 years ago. Okay. So I came here for a job that I used to have up until last year.
Okay.
And it has been approximately 1 year that I'm into yoga business full time.
Okay, amazing. I'm going to delve a little bit more into that. So growing up in Russia, and I love asking this question, particularly people in Belgium, did you grow up in a religious or a spiritual background?
I wouldn't say so. I think because of the Soviet times, the spiritual part, especially the ritual part of the religion, is kind of in the background. In my family, we would celebrate big religious holidays like Christmas,
mm-hmm.
the Orthodox one, and also Easter. But it would be more about getting together and
right.
spending time together.
Family, yeah. connecting. And yeah,
yeah rather than going to church and exercising some of the rituals there. So it would be more about spending time as a family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. And when did you first come across yoga? Because I can't imagine that you practice yoga in Russia before you came.
No, not really. Not really.
Yeah.
It was linked to my moving off the countries mm-hmm. because it has been very stressful because the environment is different, the mentality is different.
Buried.
I had a lot of work to dive into straight away when I moved.
Uh-huh.
So literally, I had my last working day in Russia on Friday and I started my job here on Monday.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And so I heard about yoga. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it would be helpful for me to manage the stress. And this is where I decided to start and try my first yoga class. It was actually the hot yoga that I started with.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Do you know that I'm a Bikram yoga teacher?
Oh.
So Irina's actually never taken my classes. So she doesn't know me as a yoga teacher.
But we're in future.
So it's really exciting on that aspect, so that you actually tried hot yoga for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
So whereabouts did you try it in Belgium?
It was in Avenue Louise.
Okay, you went to actually Bikram hot yoga.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I was just passing by one day and I thought, why not, you know? So I tried it and I liked it, and then I was going there every now and then.
Uh-huh.
And then I subscribe to the gym.
Okay.
And this is where I started practicing yoga more regularly. And then I went to India for a trip. And it
oh,
was
wow.
like for touristy reasons. You know? So we were traveling around. And at the end of the trip, I was participating in some sort of a retreat situation,
mm-hmm.
let's say. And one day, I remember there was a particular hatha yoga class, and it was, you know, on a beautiful deck overviewing the ocean with a sunset. And I was so happy doing yoga, and I felt so connected to my body, and everything seemed to be so peaceful and just right.
Yeah.
I thought that that's it. I would have to share it with the other people.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Everyone, I think, has that aha moment. In yoga, and I mean, what a place to have it. It's just absolutely beautiful. So going back to then, what actually brought you over to Brussels was your work. So what were you doing prior for the last 10 years? What was your profession and what were you doing in Brussels?
I actually used to have a corporate job. I'm a lawyer. So I graduated and I have a master's degree in international European law.
I didn't know that. Yes. Okay, another lawyer. That's why you liked hot yoga.
So are you a lawyer too?
No, I'm not a lawyer, but I know a lot of lawyers. They love hot yoga. It seems to attract brokers and lawyers. Yeah, those kind of people that are working with their mind and crazy hours. Hot yoga, yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so this was exactly why I moved to Brussels, because I was offered the job, and I was doing some legal and then afterwards some managerial work in one of the EU associations.
Right, okay.
And then approximately 5 years ago, when I finished my first degree in yoga, so first certification, let's say, I started teaching on the side. And after that, it has been now, like I said, approximately 1 year that I'm doing it full-time.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Doing
Thank
the 1 year full-time. I think the first year is like that first step into the unknown, like particularly when you have such a structured job and such a structured life around your career, and coming into doing yoga where it's kind of like freestyle for the first year. You're just kind of like, where am I going to get my money from? Who's going to pay my rent? And like trying to get classes. So yeah, that's a very interesting setup. So your first teacher training that you did, what country was it in, and what kind of yoga teacher training did you do?
Mm-hmm. My first one was actually here in Brussels.
Okay.
Because I was having this corporate job, I couldn't travel for much for a long period of time. So I decided to do it during the summertime when there is less work, because, you know, institutions are vacations.
Yes.
My first teacher training was with a Brussels-based yoga studio, and it was in Ashtanga.
It was in Ashtanga?
Indeed.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that either. I was expecting Hatha or something. Wow, okay, so you went in extreme.
I think at that stage of my life, it was very helpful for me, this type of yoga, because the structure and the sequence, it really brought me to peace.
Yeah.
And my mind was concentrated on other things rather than thinking about other postures that we'll do, because postures are all the time the same.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that I have started with Ashtanga, and I've been to Mysore a couple of times. Currently, I was there in the center of Ashtanga, but currently I do not teach Ashtanga. I do have respect for the practice.
Yes.
And, you know, I practice it that I know then myself.
What do you practice mostly now yourself?
Well, now it's like, I cannot even answer the question, what kind of yoga I teach, what kind of yoga
I practice. Know, it's very hard to, even I don't have like a, it's a mixture of different things of what I'm feeling on that particular day. I would assume it's probably for you as well.
Exactly. So for myself, you know, after these years of practice, I know my body and what is it capable of at a particular time of the day or the month.
Yeah.
So I have a sequence that fits me. And then if I'm going and teaching to the corporate clients, then I obviously adjust the postures on the spot to pay attention to any, you know, areas of concern that people with office jobs have. Because normally it's the same thing. It's neck, wrists, shoulders, tight hips, lower back.
Exactly.
And then
people tend to store stress in sitting long periods of time.
Yeah.
How did you make that transition then in as a consultant in wellness and stress management? Like, how did you get to do that? Like, what was your starting point?
It was actually during pandemic. Because I was surprised that not many companies offered support to the people in terms of making sure that they are healthy physically, mentally, emotionally during such a difficult period of time when people feel isolated and start questioning things. And I found some courses online about the wellness and well-being, and in particular, well-being for people with office jobs.
Right,
so it's about the employee wellness and stress management. And because of my corporate background, and because I'm one of those.
Because you're a lawyer.
Exactly.
You understand stress, high stress.
I know exactly how it feels, you know, and I know exactly where it hurts and how it could be. So I thought, why not to combine it, you know? So that's why I decided to adapt my yoga teaching to this particular environment so that I can help people more, people that are people who I know.
Yes.
Because of my background.
Yeah. When you made that transition then, did you approach corporate companies, HR people, or how did you make that initial?
Yes. So normally it's the approach in HR mm-hmm. or the CEO mm-hmm. or somebody in the company that I would know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the entry offer currently in my business setup is the workshop that I organized that could right. be done during the lunch break.
Okay.
So, for example, you will get together for an hour or 45 minutes and I offer you a taste of different techniques that I teach.
Right.
So a little bit of meditation, a little uh-huh. bit of mindfulness, a little bit of movement. And movement could be done at the desk and also near the desk. Because
right.
knowing how pressed for time people are,
mm.
I know the challenge that, after the working hours, you probably would like to go home and relax.
Right.
So rather than put on your yoga outfit on and go to the studio.
Yes.
So I'm happy to show people with office jobs something that they can incorporate during their working day. So something that they can do, let's say, every hour for 5 minutes, and they already will feel better in their body and in their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. And I think it's a really good concept. And I can really see that this kind of yoga taking off and being something that is probably going to be compulsory in some workplaces, because I think people, as you know, like I just say, like back in the day, like there wasn't the mindset of like mental health, being too exhausted, working overtime. It was the opposite. Like you work hard, mm-hmm. like you get that extra coffee and you just like do all night sessions, mm-hmm. and it wasn't consciousness of taking a step back, taking a breath and actually stepping out for 5 minutes, getting some fresh air, doing some stretches actually makes you more productive when you sit down. So I think for a lot of people, and maybe people that are a little bit older, it's also changing their mindset, right, of how they structure their day,
yeah,
and allowing themselves to have that time, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes from their day to actually
mm-hmm.
do the exercises. I guess over a period of time, they would see also benefits and obviously inform you as well. I'm sure you've had people tell you things that you didn't realize that people were experiencing and gaining and benefiting from, just like from day to day, from taking those little moments out.
Yes, I'm very happy to receive this kind of feedback because it's a small thing that you can change in your daily life that will make a big impact. And for example, there is a prejudice, let's say, that if you're doing yoga during the lunch break, after that you're so relaxed and chill that you cannot go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But actually the effect is exactly the opposite.
Yes.
You're rested, restored, recharged, and you're ready to go and do these things that you have planned for a day,
yeah.
and you're more productive,
yeah,
because you're rested.
Yeah, amazing. So this ties into the retreats that you do then, because I know a lot of people listening, particularly my students that have been practicing with me for a period of time, want retreats. Like retreats is like the new black, like everyone wants to go on retreats. And I think retreats that are specifically designed for people and that are working in corporate and high stress jobs, like I've seen your retreats and they look absolutely lovely. You're
Thank
walking
you.
In the mountains and it looks like Lord of the Rings, the places that you find and that you go to. What do you actually do on these retreats? How long are they for and how can people join and mm-hmm. follow?
Thank you. My retreats and generally all of my offers, they are structured around this yoga shape methodology. Which is an acronym actually. So normally retreats are 6 to 8 days.
Okay.
And every day is dedicated to a particular stage of that methodology.
Okay.
So we start with S, which is start, the intention. And the first day we dedicate okay. to setting the intention. Why is it that we are there? And what is it that brought us to mm-hmm. this retreat? Then H stands for honesty. So mm-hmm. you need to scan yourself and figure out where you are, mm-hmm. where you stand. A is for awareness, to understand where you want to go
mm-hmm.
and what is it that you want to achieve at the end.
Mm-hmm.
P is for practice. So at the retreat, generally, it's about practicing different variations, different options for a particular movement. When it comes to corporate clients, is literally actually doing the action of movement at your desk or near your desk, or if the space allows, also on a yoga mat in your offices. And E, the last stage, is for evolution. So when you do this complete cycle, you understand how you grew through the cycle and what is it that you can go, where is it that you can go in your next cycle. And as for the retreats, I also like to link it with the elements from Chinese metaphysics.
Because not to incorporate elements. Hence, 12 elements.
Yes, because it's so beautifully linked to the nature setup and the different activities that we can do. So that's why, you know, I just one day I looked at my logo and then I came up with this idea, and it matches perfectly with how the retreat is normally set up. So we do different activities depending on the element for the day. For example, when we are in the Azores, the Portuguese islands, and then there is a water element day. So we go to hot springs under the beautiful sky, go and see whale and dolphins. So we do something water related, swimming in the water, swimming in the waterfall, you know, hiking along the ocean coast.
It's so healing as well. For the body and the mind, so healing.
And then, for example, another example could be like if it is the Earth Day element. We have a retreat upcoming in Italy, and for the Earth Day element, I planned a surprise activity, which would be a pottery workshop. So you will feel grounded and construct your own piece of art.
Wow, that is amazing. I want to go. That's really, really interesting. And the kinds of people then that join your retreats, are they predominantly from the corporate that you've obviously done bits of yoga and introduced them to meditation, or is it just really open to everyone?
It's open to everyone. But looking at the people who have already attended my retreats, I see that predominantly these are people with office jobs. And which I think is logical, because this is what
it's hand in hand with what you're doing. And the feedback then from the retreats, I would probably assume that a lot of people have not attended a yoga class or done meditation before, or have thought of it as like either girly or weird, or something that an Instagram little girl does, you know what I mean? Because it's just like flooded at the moment on Instagram with yoga. So I would imagine when you come and these people are working long, hard hours and have families and their time is really important, when they go on the retreats and come back, I would imagine that their mindset and their appreciation is phenomenal. I'm sure you see many changes in people.
Indeed, I receive feedback like that. I think it's easier for me to explain these concepts of yoga, mindfulness, and meditation for people with corporate jobs because I'm coming from this environment. So I explain it in a way that people would easily understand without all the woo-woo language. So I am also conscious of the fact that people do not have much time. So I would rather share with them something which is possible to do rather than a mysterious meditation of 2 hours long that I'm pretty sure they will not do.
Exactly.
Because they don't have time.
Yeah.
So instead of that, a couple of minutes of a breathing technique.
Yeah.
And you would feel better after that. So people that come to my retreats, some of them, they have never been on a yoga retreat before. Some of them have never practiced yoga before. So I structure the retreats, yoga and meditation sessions in a way that each session is built on the previous one. So we also look into the basic positions, basic postures, so that after the retreat, they can take it home and then continue building their practice.
Yeah, I think it being tangible and relatable, both qualities you have being a yoga teacher and obviously working in corporate, I think then going on to retreat, you get to be longer in that sensation and exploring the mind and the body without any distractions as well. So I think it's amazing what you do. I think it's really the future of how yoga is going to be. So from here then, I wanted to ask you this question. Would you ever go back to being a full-time lawyer again?
No. Full-time, definitely not.
So how do you find your work balance then? Because you're working in the wellness section now, and obviously you still kind of got that one foot in the door in corporate, although coming from a wellness way. How do you find your balance? And how do you find, I think I've asked you before, what styles of yoga you like to practice?
Mm-hmm.
Like for me personally, although I love doing the strong practice during COVID, all I wanted to do was yin.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be grounded. And I can do 90-minute yin yoga classes very easily. I just love them. So, yeah. And I never was like that. I was like hyperactive, jumping. I need the gym. I need just hot yoga. I need to do strong, hot vinyasana. And finding the balance for me was like literally just slowing down, taking my time, slowing down my breath. And it really, yeah, has changed also my flexibility in my body because my body's been able to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you like to practice? What do you do to have the balance for you?
I think the biggest discovery was to accept that the body is different
mm-hmm.
and that it changes.
Yes.
And yeah. you will can feel different in the morning as compared to the evening
mm-hmm.
or depending on your cycle or depending on what's happening in other parts of your life. So this humbleness of accepting where your body is,
mm-hmm.
It grows into the respect for your body. And then you choose the practices and the movement, the meditation, the mindfulness that fit your body now at this particular moment.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. Rather than just, I've got to do my yoga, I've got to do my ashtanga, I've got to do this sun salutations 50 this morning, I think listening to your body. I think the more you do that, and I always say the evolution of yoga, when you first start, you just want to do pot, you just want to do ashtanga. And then eventually you realize that being able to sit cross-legged in stillness, mm-hmm. in meditation, is where it all happens. But we have to do all of that to get to here. And I wanted to ask you, because you've done two Vipassana meditation retreats.
Oh yeah.
To people who don't know, like in Australia, back in the day, like a lot of people used to do it. I've not done it, but I've known a lot of people who have done it, and you can shed more light on it here. But it's 10 days of silence in a guided place somewhere. Where was it? What happened? And can you share a little bit of that experience?
Sure.
If you would like.
Oh, absolutely. I just recently done it, and so far it has been the most difficult thing I've done voluntarily.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. The transitioning coming back or the actual 10 days of meditation?
I'm sorry. More the actual 10 days. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So the idea is that indeed for 10 days you do not speak. The only talking activity that is allowed is if you have a burning question, you can talk to the teacher and ask your question.
Can you hum or sing?
No. No singing, wow. No writing, no reading, no looking at each other, no winking at each other, no nothing. Absolutely nothing. They take your phone away, you know, they lock it somewhere in the safe place. That's it. No snacks allowed.
Wow. Do you stay in a room on your own? I guess you do.
If you do your first course,
yeah.
you are sharing the room with other couple of people.
Okay.
Same gender. So there is total segregation throughout the activity. And then if you're an old student, so if you have already done one course, then you are supposed to stay in a separate room.
Wow.
I have only done one course. The second course was some time period that I volunteered.
Okay.
At a different meditation center, and it was also a very interesting activity.
Uh-huh.
Which was also not easy.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You get given your meals then? Do you stay in the room, or do you have like a park or somewhere? Are you allowed to walk around, like an experience nature? It's not like jail.
No. Well, you know, there is a little area that you can walk in. It's right. not that big. So it's a little, let's say, forest in okay. the place where I was staying. It was in Spain. But it's not that much of a walk-in that you can do there just because of the distance. You don't have that much free time because okay. most of the day you're supposed to be meditating, and during the little breaks that you have, some people just choose just to lie down with the legs up the wall. And,
do they check on you? Can you not just like sleep for 8 hours?
No, they don't check on you. And they're but I think it's also about, you know, the being, let's say, staying true to the moral principles. You are supposed to be in the meditation hall, so there is a separate meditation hall for definitely for 3 sittings, and these are the 1 hour sittings.
Do you not make eye contact with people when like you lower your so you're not I would laugh. I think I would just I think I would be silly and laugh. I think my childish side would come out in that kind of thing.
I mean, it's very interesting to see what kind of things are coming up. But definitely now, when people ask me, would I recommend to do this
Would you thing? Recommend it?
If you have a doubt, or let's say a thought that mm-hmm. it would help you personally yeah. in something, because for me it was very helpful. You
yeah.
know, I was very stressed just before I came to the Vipassana meditation, and it helped me to calm down, find peace, and once again remind myself why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if you think that it would help you,
yeah,
then go. Obviously, if during the course you think that it doesn't suit you and you cannot stand it, you can leave.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You know? And I can tell you that out of 4 people that started the course, quite a few didn't finish.
Oh, really?
Including one girl from the room that I was sharing with. You know, she left on the 4th day. Because it's really? Intense. It's intense to stay, you know, just with your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So lots of things are coming up.
There's a, I guess everything from the past comes up, and then things, because your mind, I mean, your mind's job is to think, right? And I think that's the hardest thing, is for it not to think. And then I would assume things from the past and events, and I think you would probably have all sorts of weird things going through your head, like a hot yoga class, like just everything's like coming at you left, right, and center. But right at the end, did you feel like, oh, I could stay here a little bit longer? Or were you like, oh my God, I'm so glad it's finished?
I had the feeling that I want to look at the organization from the inside. Mm-hmm. And this is why I applied for the volunteering, because I wanted to see what kind of people are working there in terms of management and organizing setup. Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't trust them, or you thought they're doing a great job?
Not that I was either of these opinions. Mm-hmm. I was just very curious about it.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I was searching for the community,
uh-huh.
and also to understand why is it that people do that.
Yeah.
Because it's incredibly intense.
Yeah.
But also it's incredibly helpful, at yeah. least from what I heard from other practitioners and
yeah.
what I concluded for myself. So that's why I joined the volunteering, and I was working in the kitchen.
Ah,
and it has been also very difficult, you know, but another thing for why I went volunteering was to learn how you can incorporate this meditation
mm-hmm.
into your daily life.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing, you know, when you do your yoga teacher training somewhere in a beautiful location
yeah,
and you are kind of separated from everything that's happening
yeah.
back home, and then you come back and now what?
Reality. Yeah, right? You're in a traffic jam and it's raining and yeah.
Exactly. And so the same thing with this meditation technique. I thought like, okay, if you are...
You have a specific technique when you do the...
Yes.
Okay, yes. So that's what you keep with you when you go outside.
Yes. And they explain this technique step by step. So right. the 10-day setup doesn't make sense. And yeah, so that's why I wanted to learn how is it that you can meditate uh-huh. and also do your daily activities. So as I was volunteering in the kitchen, we were still called to the meditation hall to do this.
Okay, you still participated yeah. in part of it as well. Super interesting. What would you say has been like one of the main takeoffs from the experience for you personally?
I'd say it's keep on coming back to your why.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you're doing it?
Someone else said that as well. I think crystal in podcast. I think it's really interesting. I've been getting to say that as well, coming back to your why. Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really important.
Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, it's just a mechanical doing.
Yeah.
Rather than mindful being.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
I was really curious to find out what someone's experience was. And obviously, you've got both sides, being the volunteer and also being the guest as well. I'm going to put all of your information so people can find out how to contact you. And finishing up, words of wisdom. What can you share with us today through your yoga journey? I mean, because it's not an easy feat being a lawyer and then changing into wellness. There's a lot of things, obviously, with family, with friends, with lifestyle, financial responsibilities. What is your life going to be like in the future? I mean, it's not an easy transition. So I always think well done and congratulations.
Thank you.
And being then in the, what I call the after service, serving other people to live healthier, more sustainable lives. What are the main things that you can share that you've learned because you've gone through the whole process? Words of advice, besides finding, obviously, you know, your why, what other things have you learned that you can share?
Thank you. I'd like to mention, I think, three things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all is about the gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude has become a daily activity for me. Sometimes I write it down. Sometimes I just take a mental note. When you write it down, it's more interesting because when you, you know, flip through the pages and just look at the consistencies or inconsistencies, it's interesting to find out some tendencies.
Yeah, like, interesting.
For example, for myself, it was feeling grateful for people who surround me, for people who support me.
Yeah.
For people with whom we have established some beautiful connections.
Yeah.
And another interesting tendency, I just noticed it the other day, that it looks like quite often it's I'm grateful for very small things, you know.
Yeah.
Small things that kind of make your day brighter.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know, beautiful flower or beautiful smell of coffee or something like this. So gratitude has been one of the pearls that I wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
And staying in the present,
mm-hmm.
focusing on the present, focusing on what is it that is happening here and now, rather than wandering in the past or in the future.
Yeah.
Because we tend to focus on what we don't have rather than appreciating what we have.
Exactly.
Which is looping back to the gratitude thing. And I really like this phrase. I came across it recently. It sounds like these mountains that you are carrying, you were only supposed to climb.
Mm.
I have been thinking about this phrase, and again, it's not only about the gratitude and appreciating the present moment, but it's also about the beauty of letting go.
Yeah. Surrendering.
Releasing. Releasing whatever doesn't serve you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to carry these mountains.
Wow. Thank you so much, Irina. Thank you for so much. I've really enjoyed this talk, and I definitely know it's going to spark a lot of inspiration and help a lot of people as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanya.